I can tell you that I blew it again, Joni. I blew it again. We have a guest speaker, and once again, I forgot to tell Joni. So it says I'm speaking today in your bulletin, but that is not the case. I will be back in the pulpit next Sunday, and we're going to do one of our two remaining sermons on our in our sermon series on Hebrews that we've been doing over the past spring and summer. That'll be next week. Today, I'm glad to welcome back to the pulpiteer, John Witte, to preach to us. And I'll just say, you know, though John's not currently on our church board, he's been his term was up, and he's been taking a break to concentrate on many other things going on in his life. I can tell you that I've really appreciated his role with us on the board in the past. He is calm, which is always welcome on the church board, and thoughtful, and he's greatly concerned that we be looking for the leading of God's Spirit in our church work here, which, of course, is our collective goal. So thank you, John. And then I just, as he comes, I have to share this wonderful picture that he put on his Facebook profile with you. Hope you can see that. A very young John and Teresa from back in their rock and roll years. So would you welcome the older and wiser John Witte to preach?
I had a feeling I'd see that at some point. Well, thank you. Yeah, that was a few years ago, but it's all good. I tell you, as I was preparing for this message today, I think it was 3 weeks ago or so when Pastor Eric asked. It's been a while since I've been up here, and I forgot the spiritual warfare. I mean, I knew it comes, but I could not believe Dan mentioned it here a couple weeks ago, and he gave his message too. And it's really amazing how the world kind of pulls at you when you're trying to concentrate and get the words together. And so it's just my prayer today that I was able to focus this last week and get everything buttoned down like we're supposed to. And it also made me realize and appreciate what Eric does, Pastor Eric does here, because he's living that, you know, almost every week. And so it's just a wake-up call for me, a reminder to me. So we just have to keep that in mind. But yeah, the world always seems to get in the way, doesn't it? So the message, the main scripture that was given to me here as I was planning on this comes from Mark. Mark 16, verses 14 through 16 that I have here. But let's start by opening prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for everybody here today, Lord, and we pray that you've given us your word and that we can look to it the same way that we could thousands of years ago, Lord. It's still relevant today and true. And then we pray that the message today would be for your glory and that the words that would be said are of you, Lord. All this we pray in your holy name. Amen. So Mark 16, 14 through 16, let's see if I have a page number for those of you that have the Bibles in front of you here. I think we've got page 1022 that we have in here. And essentially, it's the Great Commission. We'll start with 14. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." That's the saying, the world again. You know, we use that about how the world's always pulling at us. And I realized that the name of the message at that point when I read that probably should be loving one another in a distracting world, because that's the world we live in today, right? So what are we to do with that information? And as we're going through our lives and our busy days and when everything's pulling at us. Well, another message or another verse that came to me was 1 John 2, verses 7 through 11, which hasn't changed much since this was written either. And that would be on page 12:28 on those Bibles. Again, 1 John 2:7-11. Dear friends, I am not writing to you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is a message you have heard, yet I'm writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them. So we are told to go out into the world and preach to all the world and all creation. And we're also supposed to love one another while we do that. So what picture, what image do you get when you think of the world? You know, is it God's beautiful creation? Everything that's around us? Maybe for some of us, it's thinking about our countryside out here and our little part of the world. You know, and if you listen to the news and TV, sometimes it seems like a cold nations in turmoil and culture self-destructing and all the negative things that are going on. We can get caught up in that. And, you know, these things may sound dark, but, you know, if you spend time and you start listening to all these feeds and, you know, the Facebook and Twitters and all that, you can start to get pulled in a way. But one thing that we know for sure, the world has changed a lot in the last 100 years. Since God's creation, you know, for 5,000 years or so, really the majority of people in the world, you know, often lived in rural settings, small villages, you know, and in those days, it was not uncommon that people lived, communicated, worshipped, basically lived their lives together with the same group of people their entire lives. In fact, for the most part, these groups would be made up of people sharing the same religious beliefs. They'd share the same family heritage, nationality, culture. Most people would probably be born, live their entire lives, and die and be buried within a couple miles of where they were born. You know, news in those days, or the conversation topics that is in front of them, would be probably very local in nature. And, you know, the thought of being challenged about your belief, what you stand for, who you are as a person, were probably seldom challenged. You know, if it would happen, it would happen very rarely. And, you know, it would be a rare occasion if it would happen at all. In fact, you could probably spend your entire life knowing only 50 to 100 people, because you live in your group and you go about your life. So compare that to today. With, you know, I did a quick Google search, ironic. But the average person, according to Google, will meet, you know, face-to-face as many as 25,000 to up to 80,000 people in their lifetime. That's not counting the personalities that we feel like we know because we watch TV, listen to the radio, you know, social media outlets, things like that. In fact, today, 1/3 of the entire world has some sort, and uses frequently, some sort of social media. If you include mobile phones, internet, email, TV, radio, newspapers, books, and social media posts, the average person today receives about 105,000 words of information per day. That figures out to be about 23 words per second during every waking hour of your life. So, you know, compared to what it used to be like, for the most of history, we were having our viewpoints and beliefs challenged every day, multiple times. Hence, we're suffering from information overload, and it's starting to change the way we interact with people. You know, we know that God's word is true. Amen? And there's no surprise when he gave us the word that we would be where we are today. So his word is as relevant today as it was when it was first given to us. So I'd like to share some thoughts in that light about loving one another within a distracted world. And I have to believe that I'm not the only one here that has had some, shall we say, not very loving thoughts about something that I stumbled across on the internet. Perhaps some of the imagery that we're going to talk about today may help us as we live together here in this, what I would consider the end times. When I think of the world, I often see things that throw us off our spiritual journey or paths that we want to be on. Most often, I think in my own mind of an analogy of a water current that's pulling us downstream when we're trying to swim upstream and live our lives as Christ would have us, as we want to. This analogy makes sense to me, particularly when I'm by a lake or by water. In fact, I've got a fishing story here that I thought about many times as I'm thinking about the world and its pull. And Joel, I'm glad you're here today. I had you in mind when I said this, so I expect to hear a couple amens from over there. For 20-plus years after we were married, Teresa's family had a lake place up in northern Minnesota on Trout Lake. But it's a different Trout Lake than the Bible camp. This is up by Grand Rapids, right along the city of Coleraine. Coleraine? I think that's how you pronounce it. And so we'd go up there and, you know, we'd all have our families together, and us guys would get in the boat every morning before breakfast, and we'd go out and we'd go fishing. And often, you know, it was a different group, different days, but one day, Teresa's brother Wayne and I went out in the boat, and I hooked one. A big one, you know, I had to be this long. Anyway, I found out Northerns, when you hook them, they feel a little bit like you hooked a log or something, because they kind of just, and they drag. And so I fought this one for quite a while. And at one point, it got close to the boat, and Wayne had the net, and he was going to scoop it up, and he saw it, and he's like, whoa! And just then, poof, he cut the line, and my line's flapping in the wind. I'm like, oh! But we talked about that several times, and we gave it a name, that fish. His name was Jaws. Okay, so we knew he was out there, and we took note of where he was. You know, there was an old barn, kind of like what we have around here, kind of on the shore in one part, and it was right out by there. And so for the next couple years, guess what Wayne and I would do every time we got up there the next morning? You know, the first morning we could, we'd go out and we'd go try to find Jaws, right? Well, one particular morning, we had gotten up, just starting to get light out, and we figured we had a couple good hours of fishing before anything happened. It was one of those perfectly calm mornings. And yeah, I forgot to put the battery on the charger, so we didn't have any of our technology with us, but we knew we had to go to that barn, and we would just, if nothing else, we'd cast out there if we can use a trolling motor. And so we went out there with our box of those Hostess French twists, you know, good nutritional breakfast and a bunch of cold sun drops, and we were set for the morning. And so we went out there and we got to our spot, and we decided, well, we can't use a trolling motor, we can't do this and that. So we decided we're going to just go into this spot and cast out into the lake, towards the lake. So we both turned around, we're facing the lake, and we just sat there so still. And, you know, it was one of those days that was so quiet in the lake, you could hear a loon splashing. You know, you'd hardly see the loon, and you could hear it splashing across the lake. So we had a lot of fun, and we talked, and, you know, we didn't catch Jaws. But we were out there till the donuts were gone, until the sun drops were gone, and figured we better go back in to see the family and have breakfast with everybody. And so when we started putting stuff away and looking around, we didn't know where we were. I mean, the barn was gone. It was like over a half mile away. We didn't realize. We were so caught up in what we were doing. We were distracted. We were so caught up in what we were doing that we had drifted way away from where we were intending to fish, and that's probably why we didn't catch them. Because we were in over 120 feet of water, and the way we were fishing just doesn't work right there in that. And I've often thought back about that as, isn't that so often what happens to us? You know, we're thinking we're going along, cruising along okay, and if we don't really stop and look around and self-assess, we're suddenly someplace that we didn't really intend to be and we shouldn't be. So that is my fish story about self-assessment and you know, even on a calm day, things can happen that you don't expect. You know, granted, if it was windy or, you know, the storm or the current was fast, we would have made more precautions. But so you've got to always be aware. So looking back on that story, what are some things we could have done that morning to keep from drifting out of the path that we wanted to be on, so we didn't go where we wanted to be? Well, there's a few things we could have done. First off, we could have put our anchor down, right? I mean, that's an obvious one. That's probably the best thing we could have done, but it was so calm we didn't think we had to. Another thing that we probably could have done is, you know, we were the only ones in the lake that morning, but if there would have been a group of other fishermen that we saw were anchored or where they were biting, we could have probably just kind of kept by them or an eye on them and had some focus point to know if we were drifting away from where we wanted to be or not. Another thing we could have done is probably stopped and looked around a little bit and see where we're at instead of just focusing on the fishing and the donuts and the sun drop or two. You know, another thing that could have helped us in that case is if we would have had somebody on shore. You know, hey, keep an eye on us, and if we start drifting away from where we want to be, just holler out or call our cell phones or something and let us know where we're at. And then the final thing, probably, too, we could have just stayed tied to the dock and not gone fishing, you know. That would have ensured we wouldn't have drifted somewhere we didn't want to do. So, again, using the same analogy and way to think, and this is not just about relationships. This is, you know, the same basic things we could do in relation in anything that we have to do in our walk with God. But let's look at some things in God's Word that can, you know, how to deal with the world and in relation to these five things that we happen to deal with that day in that boating incident. So, first off, anchor. What's the Bible say about that? Well, if we look, it's on page in Hebrews, which we recently studied here on page 1208 in our Bible, Hebrews 6:19. I think I've got that marked here. It says, "We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain." Actually, I think I probably started too late on that sentence. The hope that he's talking about here is the hope of our salvation. We know we're saved through Christ. So we have that hope. That's our anchor in everything we do today. No matter if we're fishing or if we're out, you know, in front of people, nervously giving a sermon. He's our anchor. That's our hope. So that's our anchor that we can take with us anywhere we go in life. You know, I look at the second option that we have there is, you know, what does it look like to be around other people who are anchored? Well, that could probably represent our church that we have here. You know, we're so blessed to have this family that we are all in. And, you know, if I come upon something in my life that I'm kind of, you know, I think, what would Pastor Eric do in this situation? You know, what would Harlow do in this situation? We have that, so we can always keep that as kind of a standard. Also, the Word of God. You know, we read the Word of God, and that speaks to us. It's living inside of us all, or it's living for us to read. So that's a way we can stay focused and centered where we are. Number three, looking around and being aware, sometimes we have to take time and assess our situation, where we're at, meditate on that. That would be prayer, devotions. Jesus did that. He would take time out and just kind of step away from the busyness, the distractions, and he would take time to assess. Now, as far as having somebody on shore watching us, that would be accountability partners. We names come to mind as we speak about that. It's wonderful to have those accountability partners and say, hey, I see you're kind of getting a little off where you want to be, lovingly say, look, how can I help? Or just being made aware often is what helps. And finally, the fifth one, if the weather is stormy, if the current's moving pretty fast, and you don't feel confident, maybe spiritually you're not feeling real strong because of a certain time in your life or a certain season that you're in, the Holy Spirit might ask you to sit on the dock and just kind of, let's not go there, and let's take some time to rest. However, as I read in the Great Commission, we're not supposed to just sit and rest and be comfortable all the time and just talk to our church family or our good friends or our family. We're told to go out in all the world. And so we don't want to get too comfortable sitting on that dock because sometimes we tend to get stuck there. And so we don't want to do that. So, got to roll this into what I was talking about in being distracted and in their busyness in the world today. So we're bombarded in this world every day with messages from all over the place. And, here's a scenario I can think of. I'm sure I'm not the only one that's been here, too. So I'm cruising on Facebook, just kicking back and have a little time and catching up with, what's going on with my friends and family around me. And somebody that's on my friend list or that I'm following or something will... That I know pretty good, or thought I did, suddenly they'll share a joke that's in really bad taste, or they'll make a political statement that just rubs me wrong, they just said something that really shocks and angers you, I'm sure I'm not the only one there that's had this happen to, amen? And how do you feel when that happens? You're kind of shocked, maybe a little betrayed when you see that, and you think about this world that things that are happening so fast and coming. We kind of get caught up in that, and maybe your first instinct is to, well, I'm going to comment back. I'm going to give them my side of the story. See how that works. But don't you think that was something less than loving if you do that? It's so easy for us to do. All you have to do is click, and you'll send them straight. They'll obviously listen to what you say and say, oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't do that. This happens all the time in our world that we live in today. It's crazy. I think about, you look on the news, and you're reading an article, and it's a story about a missionary or something good, it's like good news, I better click on it and read it. And it never seems to fail. You read to the end of the article, and then there's comments at the bottom, what users have contributed. And that drives me bananas, because I start reading it, oh, this is good, I want to hear what people say. I need about three or four down, and all of a sudden, there's some hater out there that starts mocking the word. And and you just want to lash out. Is that loving your neighbor? It catches you off guard. So, now I've never done it before. I've never been one that replies to those things. So, but I do keep reading and see what other people like-minded as me would say back to that person, right? And so I do that and I start, this is what they said. Wait, but it didn't change. All of a sudden, there's more haters. And I get sucked into it. And next thing I know, I'm feeling cruddy about the world. And I started, you know, with the intention of reading this article that would bring me joy and happiness in the break of my day. And I'm angry at people. And so it happens more often than I'd like to admit. So it doesn't happen all the time, but often. But you got to step back and think, well, how loving is that? I certainly didn't feel any better after having those thoughts and doing that. Well, it really happened. The current suddenly took me downstream from where I wanted to be. It happens quickly. So I'm drifting off of the path that I wanted to be taking. And so, you know, what you do, you click out of there and you go back to work or whatever you're supposed to be doing. So let's use this example using our 5 points that we talked about self-assessing, you know. So what could I have done as I'm going through, I read the article and I get down to those comments. You know, number one, using that list that we had, first of all, the anchor, I have no doubt that I'm saved. My anchor is in. So did I go off course because maybe my anchor wasn't as strong as I thought it was? Maybe I wasn't consciously thinking about it at the time and I just went off track? So I don't think it was because I didn't have my anchor in. The second option, the church family. I have a wonderful church family. They weren't around me at the time. Isn't it amazing? When you're here, you can just feel like you're confident and you can get on with the world and you have all, you know, with everybody around us, we can do anything. But then when we're alone in a work environment or in a social thing or online, all of a sudden you feel all alone. So if we could always be all together and live life, we'd probably be much better off, but it doesn't work that way. But looking at devotions and things like that, you know, maybe that morning I missed my devotion time for some reason. But I'll do it tomorrow, I'm sure. So, okay, the third. Oh, the self-assessment and looking around and meditating. That's probably what it was. I was distracted. I got caught up in the current before I was ready to brace myself. I was getting pulled downstream. And when we look at the other two things, you know, my accountability partners, I didn't have somebody that called right at that time and or was in the room. And you know, oftentimes Teresa's my accountability partner, as in many marriages, I'm sure. And, you know, if she was in there, I probably wouldn't have done that. But I did, so I was wasting time. That's actually what I was doing. You know, and then the fifth one about staying on the dock. You know, under those circumstances, it was probably okay for me to go and look at the news article. There's nothing wrong with that. I wasn't doing anything wrong that way. But what I probably shouldn't have done is started going through those comments, because that didn't do anybody any good. So at that point, I probably should have gotten out of the water and gone back to the dock. Well, as far as internet and social networking infractions go, that's pretty a minor one. You know, things like those are little fiery arrows that catch you off guard when you're not looking and can steal our joy in our walk and our love for our fellow man. So hopefully you're starting to get kind of my picture of my fishing analogy. I think of the internet and social media and all these things as like super strong currents, stormy waters. I mean, that's really what it is compared to what life is today when I'm here with you guys. You know, it's nice and peaceful. With the anonymity of the internet, and everybody's getting bombarded with things, it seems like there's less and less consequences to lashing out at people. You know, nobody will know it's me. I can do this. I can feel better. But you don't. You don't. And it's easier almost to click on that thing and hate on somebody rather than to reach out and love them. Or stop and take time to assess how these actions would not only affect other people, but it would affect me as how I interact with people. And hence I'm off course again. So we need to purposefully learn our limits and know our weaknesses when we go out into this world. And it's not a matter of going out into the world, it's maybe just a matter of sitting back and looking at my phone for 5 minutes it pulls you in fast. So let's use this and look at another example, a way we can use these thoughts and everything. So you're sitting on Facebook. Hopefully you're not in church at the time. But you've got, you know, lines 1 through 4 covered, pretty much. You're feeling confident. You're good. And then all of a sudden there's a classmate or an acquaintance that you haven't had contact with for a long time. And they seem pretty down. Might be a good time to reach out and encourage them. Especially if the Holy Spirit is prompting you to do so. But you're thinking, you know, I should probably just stay on this dock, just leave it be. You know, you might be drifting downstream there too, even without posting a single thing. In the same way as before, you're not showing love to one another, as we're directed by Mark. While it is easy to see our social media as ungodly, at the same time, it can be a wonderful tool. I'm sure if Jesus was here today with us instead of 2,000 years ago, he'd probably have a Twitter account. Wonder how many followers he'd have. But he can use this to send his message and to reach people. I believe we're supposed to use these tools to follow the Great Commission. We could show Christ's love to others in a way which glorifies him and his kingdom. As I looked at my story, at the ways to stay right on my fish story path, I can't help but think how much different from Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus this message is. So I'm thinking that's a good way to end this message today. We talk about where Paul talks about putting on the full armor of God, and it's as real to us today as it was then, and it touches all aspects of our lives, not only when we're online, but it's something to keep in mind, and it's a thought that I just want to keep with you guys throughout the day, the week, the month, the years ahead as we go. So in your Bibles, it is in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, and I'm just going to go through and read that because it's good to hear daily, as we're in this crazy culture. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with a breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people.